Thank you, Matthew, for that. And you're going to hear many more over the next several weeks. And even when Pastor gets back, he's going to pull a few out for you and share them with you. And as you've already heard, Pastor Brooks is gone today. He's away in Lithuania, and so is Pastor Matt. So that's why it's a blessing to have other people that can step up like the guys did and lead us into worship. And so this week I'll be sharing with you, and next week also. So if you don't like this week, you don't have to come next week. No, you should come. It's interesting to see. I know where everybody sits and stuff, and it's funny how when, like, people are missing, nobody takes their seats. I've just noticed that. It's like the Marcos are gone, and no one's, the Garrises aren't there, and, you know, and unless they're moved somewhere else, and they actually are the only people that move. Pastor Cody, thanks for sitting up in the balcony today. He's moving around. I like that. So is it a better view up there? Pastoral care in the balcony. All right. Good. So, wow. Okay. So, he's up there. Anyways, well, I'm going to get right into what we're going to talk about today. I know we're just slipping away with time, and I know I like to talk, so we'll get moving here. If you could turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 37 is where we're going to be at today. Some of you may be familiar with this passage. Some of you may not. But it's a very interesting story here. And it's a story that, as I've been praying the last few weeks and knowing that I was going to be sharing, I'm like, God, what can I share with this church that where people are at and minister to them? And it's not only ministering to you, hopefully, today, but it's ministered to me over the last few weeks of where am I at in my life? And we're going to talk about a valley that's before us today in this passage. And I'm really praying, as even as what God had begun to do before during our worship time, that this would still encourage you, that you are not alone, and that you can really walk out of here today completely surrendered to the Lord and know that you're in His hands and that you're empowered by His Spirit that lives within you. And that if you don't know about that power and that hope, that today you would give that to the Lord to know that He cares for each and every one of you in here. And we're going to read a passage, and I'm going to talk a little bit about it with you for a few minutes here. So let's go ahead and get into this passage in verse 1 of chapter 37 in Ezekiel. Here's what it says. It says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' I said, 'O sovereign Lord, you alone know.' Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army." Pretty interesting story here that we find. We find a guy by the name of Ezekiel who the Lord takes and sets him in this valley. And it wasn't just any valley, was it? What was all over the place? Exactly. Dry bones are everywhere in this valley. And he begins to show him a picture of where it's all at. And then the Lord began to ask him to do a couple things in this story. And we begin to see what appeared one way and the end looks totally different by the end of 10 verses, right? In just 10 short verses, everything turns around. But what we start off with is this picture of these bones. And a couple things that I think about when I see these bones is, one is they're scattered everywhere. It's just full of them. And a couple of interesting things hit me. They're scattered everywhere, and they're not buried, though. Right? They're sitting there on the surface of this valley, all scattered about, which makes me wonder, why weren't they buried? Were they engaged in some kind of battle at one time? I mean, at the end it says they stood as a vast army. Were they an army before, and here they are? They were slain in the midst of their battle and just fell dead where they were and dried up. Because the second thing we see is these bones are dried up. Very dry. Which means the sun's been beating on them. They've been laying there. The wind's been gushing through that valley. And it's just totally sucked them. And there's nothing left to them. The tissue's coming off. The tendons, it's all gone back to the earth. And the obvious thing then, therefore, with these bones is there's no life in them. Correct? Hopefully that wasn't a deep thought for anybody, but there's no life among them. But the Lord asks Ezekiel, is it possible for these to live? Now that's a big question, because I don't know how many of you see a pile of skeleton bones would think that they could come back to life. It'd be a very challenging thing with our faith, right? But here he's asked this because they're so dead, it's just everything's gone from them. And I thought about this, I'm like, so these bones are dead, okay? So what does dead mean to you and me? When we think of dead, we think the very obvious one I put down is the absence of life, right? But as I looked up and I studied this a little bit, and I looked at some definitions, it went a lot further than that, and it really started opening my eyes to what it means for something to be dead. And, you know, it goes through being absent of life, being lifeless, unresponsive, unanimated, no movement. And the one that really stuck out to me was this. One that is lacking power is lacking purpose and is lacking warmth and passion. It no longer is active or functional to fulfill its purpose. It's something that's dead. And it said in verse 9 that they were slain. So we know that they were dead. And in that moment when they were slain, no life was in them. And therefore, they quit walking forward in their purpose. Correct? They were probably out there fighting, and as one person was killed and another, and they were slain, they laid down, and numbers kept getting, the odds get greater and greater against them because they had less people working together as an army to fulfill their purpose, and then slowly they all were dead. And we just see this desolate place, and no life is present in that valley any longer. So I thought about it. So they were dead. But at one point, they had to have life, right? So I thought, well, it's not fair to sit here and just talk about death and what does death mean. So what does life really mean? Well, obviously, it's absence of death. We know that. But in looking at it, it's really cool because it means being in a forward motion. And here's the cool one is that it's about if you are alive, it means that you have the capacity for growth, for reaction, and passion. I thought that's very key. If you are here alive today, raise your hand. If someone's sleeping next to you, elbow them, say you're alive. Okay. You're alive today. That means you have the ability for growth in your life. I think too often we think we get everything figured out and we just begin to walk through the mundane things of life and we do not continue to grow in who we are in Christ. And we therefore, if we're not moving forward, it says things that don't move forward are dead. Correct? So if you're alive here today, you have more to fulfill. There's more for you to grow in. There's more for you to have a passion for and to move forward with in your life. And we see here these bones, however, probably, you know, now they have nothing, but at one point they hungered for something, didn't they? They at one point knew what they were supposed to do and they were desperate to reach it. I've been desperate to reach things in my life before, to grow in who I am, and to fulfill what God's called me to do, and the same for each and every one of you. And the same here with these people, that at one point they were hungry for something, but then it was snuffed out of them. I don't know, maybe some of them cowered away when they thought the odds were against them. They just cowered down and let themselves be snuffed out. So I asked myself this question as I was reading this, where am I at really today? Do I have a hunger in me any longer to keep moving forward? Yes, even as a pastor, it's very easy to not be hungry for the things of God. It can become like any other job that we do in life. And I don't want that for me, and I don't think you want that for yourself, and I don't want that for you, and the Lord doesn't want it for us, that we lose our hunger in the purpose that he has for each and every one of us. That he wants to take us from where we're at and bring us to another victory, to another victory, to another victory. And to keep moving us forward and forward and forward. But sometimes our hunger maybe we keep moving forward, but our hunger isn't going like this for the Lord, but our hunger begins to go for the things of this world. We begin to desire other things to fulfill that intimacy that we should have with the Lord. And I have to question myself every day, what am I hungry for? Let that be a question in your mind today of what are you hungry for? And so we see these bones that are sitting there, but they didn't stay as bones, did they? As we read the story. As we read in verse 7 and verse 8, here's what it says. It says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. And the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them. But there was no life in them, no breath in them. What happens here? We see these bones that were all scattered everywhere all of a sudden begin to move in a positive direction, don't they? They begin to come together and they begin to shape bodies. You guys ever see like those skeletons in like chemistry class or whatever? No, biology. Is it biology? I hated all sciences, so I don't know. Okay, is it Katrina? Okay. You know, and you like, all I did is like played with the little mouth. And, hey, how you doing? And I did that and like move the arms. I didn't really like use it for anything scientific. So, but these bones start coming together and they're now laying on this ground. And now they look like people, don't they? But is something still missing? Just because it has the appearance of life doesn't mean that it's alive. And we see them sitting here, and it says that they came together, but there was no breath in them. But one thing had to happen before the breath could come into those bones. You know what that was? Is the bones had to become unified once again and make the body. Because if it was scattered, you know, I highly doubt that the arm bone like went in and like stuck into like, you know, the kneecap and like the foot came and stuck where the head was and the head went into the shoulder thing. That don't look like a person, does it? No, it's a monster. So here we see that everything had to come into alignment first. And in unity, the bones had to come into unity first. So therefore then the breath could go in, and it could begin to walk in its purpose. Because once all those bones came together, we move on and we read in verse 9 and 10, it says, then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Okay, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these that are slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Whoa. Can you imagine in that moment? I wonder if like if this was really an army here around the corner outside the valley on the other mountainside, the army that just defeated them. You imagine all of a sudden hearing this rumble of just this group of as these people begin to stand to their feet again because life was in them. And now they had a purpose once again, and they're ready as an army to do some wreckage. That would freak me out if I was in the other camp. I'm like, okay, what did we do wrong here? Something changed in that moment. Something of the miraculous took place in that moment that now no longer was it a dry, desolate valley, but it was completely full of life. Completely full of life. With people who had a purpose, who had been restored, and ready to do something. And I thought about this vast army. I thought about this story. And I'm like, God, you know, begin to apply it to my own life. And as I thought about it, is how it applies to me as an individual and you today. And then us as a church, not as an NCA, but us as the body of Christ. What are these things? How does it relate to us? And I looked at a couple things. And one of them I know right off the bat happened so easily. It's just as we saw these bones were scattered everywhere. And the life was snuffed out of them. So often, we can become overcome by the things of this world and our circumstances. Has anyone ever been there before where you think you're going, all of a sudden, boom, you hit a wall and you fall down and you think there's nowhere else to go? I've been there several times. Sometimes it's my own doing in the sense that we try to too often maybe appease the world. And we think the way to reach them isn't through truth, but it's through being just like them and doing whatever and don't want to look like the standout. So we go and become like them. And in the end, we lose any sign of godly life in our own hearts, don't we? And before we know it, we're so far away from the giver of life. And we've been overcome by the things of this world. The thing about this church that I love so much is that we're not about being just seeker sensitive and just trying to appease people. But let us never lose focus that it's about people either. And become comfortable where we're at and just naturally sit down, because then the enemy's already defeated us. Because we are not fulfilling the call that God's placed upon this church in us as individuals. The second thing that I thought about with this is the unity aspect. These bones were scattered everywhere. And how often in our own lives, in our relationships, and as a church, we can become disunified and scattered. As that body had to come back together, us as a church has to stand unified in Christ as His body, that He can therefore breathe His life of empowerment into us so we can go out and reach a lost and dying world. But too often we become disconnected. And we've maybe become hurt by someone, even in this room or in our past. And we say, you know what, I'll come to church. I'll tolerate church. I'll survive church. But I really don't want to be a part of the church. And we've been hurt. It's happened to me before. But I have to learn to walk in forgiveness. And not say, look what's happened to me, but to begin to love like Christ and say, I forgive that person, because I know that the enemy will want to do anything but to cause, he wants to cause division among God's people and cause us to be divided with Christ. And if we begin to be divided with Christ, if we're not unified with the head, we're going to be all over the place. We're going to be scattered across the valley. We're not going to be moving forward in our purpose any longer. People should not come to church just to try to survive the church. But they should come because of loving relationships with people. And people outside these walls should see the church as loving people. Not as a building, not as a religion, not as 16 fundamental truths. But to look at them as Christ-like. Unified. They will know that we are Christians by our love for one another. But the last one, which is the scariest one of all, as I look at this passage, is that we can get our act together and be unified and everything else. But the third point of these bones is, even though they looked like something, they still had no life in them. I can look like a pastor. I can look like a godly husband. I can look like a godly friend. But if I do not have the breath of God's love and His life in me and His empowerment, I am nothing. I am not able to go anywhere. We can have the beautiful building, the great big cross, the best programs that money has to buy or to offer. We can have the best talents and gifts up here on the stage. But if we do not have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit within our lives to walk out Christ-likeness, we will be nothing and we will be ineffective as an army of God. We have to grab hold of what He's given us. He has given us His power. Jesus left the earth and said that greater things you will do. He was gone. He sent His Spirit. And if you've come to know Christ, He lives within you and you are empowered to do the things of God, to have a purpose and a passion. If you're sitting here today going, things are just torn apart. I don't know anything. It's just chaos for me. Let me tell you today that there is someone who loves you, who wants to turn your circumstances from a valley of dry bones into life. And His name is Jesus Christ. That He loves each and every one of us to the point where He came and gave his life for each and every one of us when we don't deserve anything because we see this cruel world and we're part of it. And we've been cruel probably before, right? We don't deserve any of it, but his grace says, even though you have messed up, my unmerited favor is upon you. But we have to have the breath of life within us. So my questions to you today is, if we're going to be this extraordinary army, this vast army, we have to think and ask ourselves, are we in unity among one another? Are we in unity and right relationship with the Lord, with the head? Do we walk with a common purpose and a passion for the things of God? Do we, though, walk as we walk with purpose? Do we have it with the infilling of the Holy Spirit? Do we walk in His power? Or are we laying in the valley, scattered? We maybe are laying in the valley, looking like a vast army, having the appearance of good, yet have no life in us. Drew, if you're in here, someone, Pastor Art, come. Oh, he's here. Worship team, James could come up here. Here's the thing, is too often we begin to look like this valley, but I believe that God wants us to look more like the Ezekiel in this story. Because Ezekiel in this story he was a person of obedience, wasn't he? He was a person who, in the midst of all of this, God asked him to speak life. He didn't ask him to speak to the body to rise up, but he said, speak to the breath, to the Spirit of God to fill them. And God is looking for people to become an Ezekiel, one with a purpose and a passion in the midst of trials. Because guess what? If you look back like in Ezekiel chapter 2, man, Ezekiel was told, like, it's not going to be easy for you. It's a rough life of what I'm the call I'm putting on your life. And each one of us walk out difficulties all the time. And in the midst of those difficulties, are we willing to be obedient and stay focused on the things of God and what He has for our life? We need to quit looking like the valley and begin to look like Ezekiel, but then to be able to look out into the valley and see the lost and dying souls that do not know Christ and those that are hurting, and be able to be the ones who speak life, the Spirit of God, into their circumstances. Here's the thing, if you read the rest of this passage, I'm going to read to you verse 11 on down. It says this, then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. The bones in this picture were representing the house of Israel. At this time, you know, they become scattered due to foreign powers, and everything else have been conquered and dispersed among the lands. But here God shows Ezekiel just how much He cares for His people. And He first says, I'm going to bring physical restoration and bring them back together as my people. But He doesn't stop there. He says, then I'm going to take my breath and breathe it into them, a spiritual restoration to His people, and become a restored faith and relationship with their Heavenly Father. And He shows this picture to Ezekiel. But I don't know where you're at today, but I believe some of you can relate to the hopelessness side of this picture. But hopefully you won't stay there and realize the hope that is in the midst of this story, that God loves you. God can restore what has been taken. God can bring back the life to the dryness that you are feeling in your heart today. He can bring back the health. He can bring back and restore the relationships that become disunified. He can strengthen you today. God has not forgotten about you and where you're at. I think of my own life. And there was a time in my life, and you guys have heard my testimony at different times, but I, at one point, said I knew God had called me and had a promise to me to raise me up, to be a voice to His church, and to be a pastor. And I was going away to Bible college, doing the whole thing. And then I got mixed up in a relationship. An immorality in that relationship. And it all fell apart, though, a year later after I decided not to go away. And I was devastated. And the only thing I knew, I thought to myself, I am so condemned. I have screwed up so bad. There is no way I can move forward now with what God has for me. So I sat in the valley. And in the valley, as long as I sat there, I began to dry up more and more and more. And I allowed alcoholic addictions to be there, sexual immorality to be there, to take away the pain that I was feeling. For 7 years almost. But I played church very well. I played on the worship team. I was in the drama stuff and everything else. I had the appearance of life, but I was dead inside. Until the point came where I even walked away from the church and said, it's not for me, it's not worth it, and walked away. And then in the midst of that, finally the Lord got a hold of my heart one day in a hotel room in Pennsylvania. And in that moment, my life was turned around because I had people like my parents and my grandmother speaking life into my dead circumstances. They spoke to the Spirit of God to rush in and touch His life, and it began to change my world upside down, and I was changed. And I was set free from my addictions. And I rose up from that valley and stood to my feet to be a warrior in the army of God once again. And I began to walk forward in my purposes once again. And not allowing the enemy to say, fall down and give up. It is too great for you. You are condemned. No, because I knew the grace of God had set me free. And I don't know where anyone is at today. But I believe many are in the valley of dry bones. You are in there looking up and saying, it's too hard to get out. It's not worth it. But today, and my prayer has been all week, that the life of God would swoop into your circumstances and bring wholeness to where you're at. And that you would come alive once again and be free from your circumstances and to find a hope in the one who loves you unconditionally. That you don't have to walk out of here the same. That the extraordinary can happen in your life. That we can walk out of here as an army of God, ready to do His work. In the name of Jesus, I just pray right now. I pray right now, oh God, for each person here. Lord, as You even said in that passage, that You were restoring Your people to their land. You were restoring them to their promise. I pray that those here that are feeling that they cannot be restored to the promises You've had. It may be 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. You've called them to something. That God, that they would not say they've thrown it away. That there's not use, that they're not useful any longer. But I pray right now by Your Spirit, You would restore in the name of Jesus. Restore in the name of Jesus. Spirit of God, touch their lives and fill them afresh right now. Addictions be broken in the name of Jesus. Be dead to them right now in the name of Jesus. Life, the life of God, begin to fill them. Spirit of God, begin to strengthen them right now. Forgiveness in their hearts right now. Those that have become enraged inside, that feel that they have been left out, rejected, separated from Your love, from people in this place or in their family or in relationships. I pray restoration right now in the name of Jesus. Restoration. You might be here today and your eyes closed. I just want to ask you as you're praying, search your heart. You know your circumstances. The Holy Spirit may be revealing stuff to you right now of the things you have held within that you haven't really released. And just begin to give them to the Lord right now. Minister, Holy Spirit. Now I want to ask if there's anybody in here who says, I am in a valley right now. I don't know where to turn. I don't know where to go from here. You may say right now that you do not even know this God, this unmerited favor that you're talking about. Or maybe you do and you're sitting here saying, I have walked away, I have become dry, I have stopped my forward motion. And to become dead in the promises that God has for me, that life has beaten me up. If that's you, I want you to just, as a resemblance to what took place in that valley, I want you to just begin to stand in this room, just as those bones stood once the life of God was in them, and stand up to your feet and let the enemy know that you are proclaiming freedom in your situation. You are claiming freedom in the dry moment of your valley, and that you are standing as an army of God, a warrior of God, to say, I will not be held back. If that's you, begin to stand. Go ahead and stand in this place. I know there's more than one in this room. Go ahead. Don't be afraid. Don't let fear strike you down right now. Don't look at the heaviness of the enemy, but stand up and say, I am free in the name of Jesus. Whatever it is, you're going to give it to the Lord.